1. I'm going to read, though, just verse 12 of the fourth chapter. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray a moment. Heavenly Father, as we gather around this word, help us to hear what you want to say to us through your Spirit. May your Holy Spirit truly be our teacher. And as your word promises, convict us and convince us of your truth and how your truth applies into our life and how we need to live according to that truth. Lord, we need you. We need the power of your Spirit in our life. We need to be transformed, changed. None of us are where we need to be. Grow us, O God, just a little bit more into your image as we set it at your feet and your Spirit teaches us your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Salvation is found in no one else. No one. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Hard words here. Must be saved. No other. No others. Not a lot of wiggle here in this little verse. And the focus is on the name. It's interesting because said in Sunday school class this morning, the focus was on the third commandment, the name. Have no other name before you. And I said, well, Lord, maybe you figured that out way ahead of me, you know, that kind of those two thoughts would come together. The Gaithers, you may have heard of them, Bill and Gloria, they're, as you know, they're my contemporary folks, made a popular song back in the 60s and 70s. That's my contemporary. And it was entitled, There Is Something About That Name. You ever heard of that song? Jesus, 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 it says. There's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. There is indeed something about a name. Any name, especially the name of Jesus. There's power in a name. There's power. Take the corporate giants of the world. They fight over their name. They guard them with all sorts of legal protections. No other computer software company dare call itself Microsoft, right? You know, or no other auto manufacturer dare call itself Ford. Oh no, those are sacred. A name carries with it a certain goodwill or badwill. When a company has worked hard to achieve or develop a market and associate their name with that market, they have a valuable asset. Nike, Exxon, Geico, you can name all kinds. And that should be the same and is the same about individuals. Who would name their child Benedict Arnold? You know, or Osama bin Laden in our country? Those names have power, but it's a detrimental power, right? It's a negative power. A name primarily does two things. It identifies and it imparts authority. It identifies and it imparts authorities. And we've all heard of a brand name. You know, what's the brand name? As opposed to an unknown generic variety. That's identity, you see. That's identity. Jesus had a name that set him apart from other folks around him. Although there were lots of people who had the name Jesus, lots of people who have a name Jesus in their identity today. But Jesus had a name that set him apart, just like we all do. When Mary wanted Jesus to do something at the wedding of Cana, She didn't call just, hey. She identified Jesus. Jesus. She was very specific. She wanted her son to do something. And it was Jesus, not James or one of the others. It was Jesus. And that name identified him, and it separated him from everyone else in the room. Maybe more importantly, that name imparts authority. Not just any authority, but the authority and the power of the one identified. I hope you're following that. That's the whole idea around the practice of name dropping. We do that all the time, don't we? It gives us the power, the stature, if you would, because we identify ourselves along with someone who already has an established authority or power. The idea is that it boosts our authority, right? Picks us up a little bit. When God sent His Son into the world, He, God, directed that His name be called Jesus, right? God named His Son. Remember the angel Gabriel speaking to Joseph and telling him, you are to give him the name Jesus. That was his identification. That was his identity. And then he went on in that same sentence, and he said, because he will save his people from their sins. That was his authority. Jesus was not just any person. He had an identity, and he had a specific authority. Now, understanding the identity of Jesus is pretty easy. He was the earthly son of Mary and Joseph, right? He was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth. He was a Jew, went through the countryside in Judea and Galilee, preaching a message of redemption and repentance and hope, forgiveness. He was killed. He was buried. Certainly people around Judea and Galilee, they knew of him. They'd heard of him. Many of them maybe had even met him. He had a reputation. He had a following. But that was not really what set him apart. What made Jesus different, what set him apart, was the power, the authority, the authority. This Jesus was born of a virgin. This Jesus was able to turn water into wine. This Jesus healed the sick and cured the lame and gave sight to the blind. This Jesus raised the dead. This Jesus was raised from the dead himself. It was this Jesus that God, in a voice from heaven, said, my beloved Son. It was this Jesus who said that He and the Father are one. He was God. That's what made Him different. There truly is something about His name. Jesus made it clear in His teachings, and the disciples lived it out in the New Testament writings. There is power and authority in the name of Jesus. John 14:13 says, and I will do whatever you ask, Jesus. I will do whatever you ask, listen, in my name. In my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's power. Mark 16, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Amazing acts made possible only through the name of Jesus. You see, it's not magic. It's not hocus pocus. It's the name. There's something in that name. That's the power. That's the identity. John the Apostle, talking about these stories, says in John 20:31, talking about Scripture, and indeed in all the stories of Scripture, these are written. This is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you might have life. How do you think? In His name. In His name. have life in His name. You and I as believers are called to live our life in the power and authority of Jesus today and for eternity. And that's exactly what Peter and John were doing that day in Jerusalem, back to the third chapter of John, right before this. This is the end of the story. Now we start at the front of the story. When they went into the temple. This verse is not a proposition, let's say. This verse, our text this morning, not a proposition without fact. No, it has facts that back it up. It's part of a story. A story that really happened. With results that really happened. Peter and John were entering the temple and they were confronted by a beggar asking for money. Life situation, right? How many of you have been confronted by a beggar asking for money? How many of us have come upon situations that were just impossible for us to meet within our own ability? Could be a beggar, could be a sickness, could be a tense conversation, could be a difficult relationship, fear, anything beyond our ability. We've all experienced that. We do it every day almost. Well, Peter looked at this man and he told him that he didn't have any money. But he did have something much more valuable. And he said, in the name, okay, there it is, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, we all know that just saying a word won't heal crippled legs. Especially when we say those words. And hearing the less than spectacular Peter say them wasn't a whole lot of persuasion either. So what was really happening here? What was really going on? When Peter used the name of Jesus, when you and I use the name of Jesus, what really happens? Remember the word of Jesus when he said in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered together, and here it is again, in my name, there I am among them. When you and I call upon the name of this Jesus, we're bringing to bear his actual presence among us. That's what he's saying. So the healing was not Peter's, it was not John's, it was Jesus. It always is Jesus. The healing was belonged to the Christ, it belonged to God. We could say that all names offer the qualities of their owner in that sense. You know, like Ferrari, it communicates expensive sports cars, and John Hopkins, not Jim, John. Jim's good, communicates a lot of things, good things too. But John Hopkins, a nice hospital, right? A good hospital. But the name of Jesus, meaning Jesus the Christ, communicates not just an image or a thought, it communicates the actual presence and power of God among his believers. Indeed, it is a name like no other. If you remember the story about this crippled beggar, he was miraculously healed, wasn't he? Surprised? Maybe. Not really. And then what does he do? He goes around jumping up and down like a crazy man. Like probably you and I would do if something like that would happen to us and we'd just be out of our mind. Everybody could see it. Everybody saw it. Everybody was what happened? And again, it was a public spectacle. It was meant to be a public spectacle. Not hidden in a back room. Not disguised out of witness. This thing was witnessed by hundreds of people. Hundreds of people. In the ensuing events that followed, and if you read that whole chapter 3 of Acts, over the next couple of days, Peter made the statement that became our main text today, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. It's a declaration, absolutely bold and clear, of what had happened previous. Was the end of the story, so to say. There's no other way to find salvation. No other way to find oneness with God. No other person, no other teaching. Peterson, who wrote the version, the Bible version, The Message, said, "Salvation comes in no other way, no other name has been or ever will be given by which we can be saved. Only this one." The powers of the world Peter lived in couldn't accept that truth. Even though the evidence was glaring, even though the evidence was jumping all around them, right there for everyone to see. You know, Peter preached a little message right after that, having a little discussion with the religious powers of his day. And do you know that the Bible says that over 5,000 men came to know Jesus because of this event? Got any imagination how big that is? 5,000 men. How many women and children? How many women? How many others? 5,000. The power of our world, they're the same as Peter's world. They're nothing. Logic and reason has nothing to do with what God does. It's a spiritual battle. And the world's going to turn us down. But God's going to turn us up. How is it that Christianity is always seeming to be the target of mockery and ridicule so often in our culture? Think about it. How is it that you can watch hours and hours and hours of movies and TV and hear many positive statements maybe about God, a whole lot more negative than positive, but you'll hear positive statements about God, right? Lots of old TV shows we used to watch, Touched by an Angel and various things like that. You know, they talked about God all the time. But never, never a positive mention of Jesus. Think about it. That word, that name, is almost never used. Why? Why? Why can we talk about God and we can't use the name Jesus? You know, I think it's clear. Satan knows that that name has the power, just like the word says. That name has the authority. That name can deliver. That name can save. And no other name can do that. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:9 that God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and given him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name, Jesus, a name like no other. You and I are brought into salvation through the name of Jesus. And you and I are to live as His disciples in this world in the power, in the authority of the name of Jesus. We should pray in His name. We're told to pray in Scripture in His name. We do mighty works in His name. And that's the only mighty works we'll ever do. He'll be doing them through His name. We find healing within ourselves and we bear testimony to others in His name. The name of Jesus is His identity. It is His power. It is His presence amongst His believers. Solomon said in Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord," there it is again, "is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved." It's true. A name like no other name, the name of Jesus. Let's use it for His glory. Let's exalt Him. Let's understand the grace and power we have to be His disciples in a world that doesn't accept us any more than that world accepted Peter and John. But watch that world jump and praise Him as that name brings his presence among us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence among us. We thank you that